Hey everyone,
I'm Jordan Thomas, and I'll be your guide for today's deep dive.
And I'm Taylor Adams, happy to be here.
And joining me as always is our brilliant expert, Taylor Adams. Today, we're plunging into a topic that couldn't be more critical. Why U.S. federal civilian agencies need to adopt Rapid7 to secure and accelerate speed to mission. You know, when we talk about federal agencies, we're not just discussing IT infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the backbone of our nation's essential services, right? From healthcare to financial stability, mm-hmm. all powered by this immense, often sprawling digital estate.
Exactly. And the cybersecurity landscape they're navigating. Well, it's under an unprecedented generational shift.
The generational shift, yeah. Driven by relentless, sophisticated threats and these urgent top-down government mandates.
That's the key.
So our mission today is really to cut through that complexity, offering you, our listener, a shortcut to truly understanding this pivotal moment.
Yeah, we want to illuminate the pressing mandates, the adversaries these agencies are actually up against. Right. And detail precisely how an integrated platform like Rapid7 Solutions are designed to address these challenges head on.
And crucially, map out where these solutions can make the most, you know, immediate and profound impact across that federal landscape.
You're going to walk away with a crystal clear picture of what's truly driving federal cybersecurity and how a unified approach can make a tangible difference, not just in securing things, but in accelerating their vital missions.
Yeah, ensuring not just compliance, but genuine national resilience.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our sources paint a picture of a cybersecurity landscape that's not merely evolving, but undergoing what's been termed a generational shift within federal agencies. What's truly driving this seismic activity in federal agencies right now, beyond just, you know, the usual IT upgrades?
It's fascinating, really, because what we're witnessing isn't just incremental change. It's a profound policy-driven transformation. Yeah, the primary driver is this confluence of urgent, top-down federal mandates. It's not agencies just incrementally improving their security posture.
That's right.
It's a fundamental reimagining of how they operate. And it was largely catalyzed by high-profile incidents, like the SolarWinds compromise.
Ah, SolarWinds. That really shook things up.
It absolutely did. It starkly exposed systemic weaknesses and pushed the entire federal government from a relatively passive, sort of compliance-based security model.
Yeah, check the box.
Exactly. To one that demands proactive defense, continuous visibility, and genuine resilience. So for you listening, this isn't just a regulatory shift.
No.
It's a significant budget catalyst. We're talking solutions that directly address these needs, with funding explicitly prioritized in FY 2025 and FY 2026.
So the money's following the mandates.
Precisely. And what's truly insightful here is that this isn't simply new money. It's a strategic window. Agencies that move decisively now will not only secure this critical funding, but also set themselves up for a multi-year advantage.
In what way?
In talent retention, in operational resilience. Those that delay risk falling further behind and honestly facing even greater remediation costs down the line.
Makes sense. The urgency is real then.
The urgency is definitely underscored by the hard numbers.
Yeah.
Federal agencies reported, get this, 32,211 cybersecurity incidents in FY 2023.
Wow. Over 32,000?
Yeah, that's nearly a 10% increase from the previous year. That alone tells you volumes about the escalating threat landscape.
Wow, 32,000 incidents in a year. That's a staggering number and really highlights the pressure. You mentioned SolarWinds as a catalyst. Are there other, maybe less public incidents that have shaped this policy direction? And what key lessons can we draw from those?
That's a great point. While SolarWinds was the very public immediate trigger for Executive Order 410028.
Right, the big one.
Yeah, there's a long tail of less public but equally impactful incidents that have collectively built this pressure. Think about the OPM data breach back in 2015.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Exposed millions of records.
Millions. And that wasn't about supply chain compromise, right? That was more about foundational security failures, inadequate identity protection.
Yeah.
Stuff that actually predates our current zero trust focus.
Interesting. So the problems were there before.
They were. Or even consider the smaller scale but persistent ransomware attacks we see hitting state and local governments or healthcare systems. Those highlight the pervasive threat to critical services.
So the lesson.
The lesson across all of them is clear. A reactive, perimeter-focused defense just doesn't cut it anymore. Adversaries are inside or they're finding clever new ways in.
Right.
And the government simply has to assume breach now, which shifts the focus.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about trying to keep them out anymore.
It's about finding them when they're in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And responding with lightning speed.
That distinction between keeping them out and finding them when they're in is crucial. So at the heart of this transformation, we have Executive Order OUT 2028. Sounds like the grand strategic blueprint.
It is.
But for agencies on the ground, what's been the most unexpected challenge in translating these core tenets into, you know, actionable security? And where are they seeing genuine transformation versus just, well, compliance theater?
That's a fantastic question. EO 1428, issued back in May 2021, is indeed the strategic blueprint. It's probably the most significant overhaul of federal cybersecurity policy in, well, over a decade.
Okay.
It essentially discards that outdated perimeter-based model and establishes a new approach built on three core tenets, and each one presents unique challenges.
All right, let's break them down. Tenet number one.
The first is the move to zero trust architecture, ZTA. The EO explicitly directs federal civilian executive branch agencies to adopt zero trust.
Zero trust. We hear that term a lot.
We do. And it's a profound philosophical shift away from the old castle and moat model, which basically trusted anything inside the network.
Right. If you're in, you're good.
Not anymore. Mm-hmm. Zero trust operates on never trust, always verify. It assumes a breach is inevitable or, frankly, has already occurred.
So for your agency listening, this means more than just new tech.
Oh, much more. It's a fundamental shift in operational philosophy. The real insight of zero trust is recognizing that trust itself is now a vulnerability. Every access, every transaction, every user needs continuous revalidation.
Wow. That changes everything.
It really does. How federal IT infrastructure is designed, managed, audited, all of it. It necessitates things like multi-factor authentication, obviously.
MFA, sure.
And micro-segmentation, which for many agencies represents a monumental re-architecture of their internal networks.
Moving away from those broad perimeters.
Exactly. To granular, per application, or per user access control. Plus, you need comprehensive visibility and advanced analytics. The challenge isn't just the tech, though.
Well,
it's the sheer complexity of legacy systems and, honestly, the ingrained cultural resistance to such a radical change in access paradigms.
Culture change is always hard. Okay, second tenet.
The second tenet focuses on enhancing software supply chain security. SolarWinds vividly demonstrated the catastrophic potential of compromised software, right?
Absolutely.
So EO 14028 places unprecedented emphasis on the security of software the government procures. It directs NIST to develop guidelines for secure software development.
NIST guidelines.
Yeah, emphasizing greater visibility into software components, often through a software bill of materials, or SBOMs.
SBOMs, right.
Yeah.
The ingredients list for software.
Pretty much. And attestation of secure development practices. This means you need to look beyond your own organizational boundaries. You have to scrutinize the security of every piece of software you procure and use.
That sounds like a huge undertaking.
It is. It creates a massive need for tools to assess application security and manage vulnerabilities in third-party code, the unexpected challenge. Often the sheer volume and complexity of that supply chain.
And getting vendors on board.
Exactly. Getting vendors to consistently provide SBOMs or adhere to secure practices in a timely manner, that's tough.
Okay. And the third core tenet.
Finally, number three is improving threat detection and response, recognizing that prevention alone isn't enough.
Which we already established.
Right. The EO mandates a significant improvement in the federal government's ability to detect and respond to malicious cyber activity. A key provision here is the call for a government-wide endpoint detection and response system.
EDR.
EDR. So focusing on the endpoints, laptops, servers.
Exactly. This signals a critical move away from passive, signature-based tools toward active threat hunting, behavioral analysis, and rapid incident response right at the endpoint level.
More proactive.
Much more. The order also aims to remove barriers to threat information sharing with CISA. So yeah, prevention alone is no longer enough. You need the capability to quickly detect and respond across your entire network.
And share that intel.
And share it. The hurdle. Many agencies are still heavily invested in legacy detection tools. Shifting to a modern EDR that can cover all endpoints, desktops, servers, cloud workloads, that's a massive undertaking.
Technically and fiscally, I imagine.
You got it. Both.
It sounds like a truly Herculean effort for agencies. And for those trying to translate that grand strategy of EO 14028 into actionable granular steps, OMB M2131 really comes into play.
Absolutely.
It feels like the detailed instruction manual. What are the key operational requirements it imposes that agencies are genuinely feeling the pressure to implement right now?
You're spot on. OMB Memorandum M2131, which came out in August 2021, takes those broad goals from the EO and translates them into specific, measurable, and crucially, time-bound requirements, especially concerning an agency's ability to support incident investigations.
So less what, more how to.
Exactly. It's very prescriptive. At its core, M2131 is a highly detailed logging mandate and maturity model.
Logging.
It establishes formal tiers from EL0 through EL3. Specifying the exact types of log events agencies must capture and retain.
Like what kind of details?
We're talking really granular stuff. Right. Identity and access management events, operating system processes, DNS queries, cloud activity logs.
Wow, that's specific.
Incredibly specific. And this level of granularity is challenging. Hmm. It often pushes many agencies beyond the capabilities of their legacy systems. A lot are struggling to meet even EL1.
So the insight here isn't just about collecting data.
No, it's about collecting the right data. In a standardized format, so that when an incident inevitably occurs, investigators aren't trying to solve a puzzle with half the pieces missing.
Makes sense. What else is key in M2131?
It also includes a crucial mandate for prioritization of high-value assets, HVAs. CISA's guidance acknowledges, look, agencies can't secure everything at once.
Right, resource constraints.
Exactly. So it explicitly instructs agencies to make risk-informed decisions and prioritize their efforts on their most critical systems. This includes HVAs, high-impact systems, and foundational IT components.
Like identity providers.
Yeah, think Azure Active Directory, Active Directory itself, and internet-accessible systems. This guidance provides a clear roadmap for where agencies will focus initial efforts and budgets.
And the less obvious implication.
Well, it forces agencies to truly understand what their crown jewels are. It mandates an inventory and risk assessment process that many previously lacked the rigor for, which is, you know, a foundational step for any solid security program.
True. Anything else major from M2131?
Yes, definitely the data access imperative. This is critical. M2131 requires that agencies must provide CISA and the FBI with access to their log data during a cybersecurity incident.
Direct access for CISA and the FBI.
Direct access. The memo states agency CIOs are responsible for provisioning accounts for investigators, granting them access by the same means as agency employees.
That's a big deal.
It's a powerful driver for centralized, searchable, readily accessible log management platforms. Agencies can't rely on disparate, siloed log files anymore. They need a unified system for rapid, enterprise-wide investigations.
By internal and external teams.
Correct, when it counts the most. The strategic implication is a shift towards, frankly, forced interagency collaboration and transparency in incident response.
Which, while maybe challenging,
is essential for a truly national cyber defense.
So agencies are grappling with these massive mandates from above, but they're also operating in this uniquely challenging environment. It really sounds like a perfect storm of converging difficulty.
It absolutely is.
What are the most significant operational headwinds federal agencies are contending with as they try to implement all these changes?
Yeah, this context really amplifies the need for the very solutions these policies prescribe. It's a tough spot.
What's headwind number one?
First, we have escalating nation-state threats. Federal agencies are, let's face it, high-value targets for sophisticated nation-state actors and advanced persistent threats, APTs.
Seeking what? Espionage? Disruption?
Both. And sabotage of critical infrastructure. The People's Republic of China, for instance, is frequently identified as a major persistent cyber threat to U.S. government networks.
And these aren't simple attacks.
Not at all. These adversaries possess the resources, the patience, the cunning to bypass traditional defenses. This makes advanced detection and response capabilities, not just prevention, absolutely critical.
That 32,000 incident number comes back to mind.
Exactly. With 32,211 incidents reported in FY23, it's clear you're not just dealing with opportunists. You're on the front lines against well-resourced, patient adversaries who think in terms of years, not days.
Scary stuff. What's the next headwind?
Then there's the severe and persistent cybersecurity skills gap. The federal government faces a chronic shortage of qualified cybersecurity talent.
We hear about this everywhere, but it's acute in federal agencies.
Extremely acute. This deficit makes it exceedingly difficult for agencies to staff and maintain a 247 Security Operations Center, a SOC, capable of defending against those persistent attackers we just mentioned.
And this isn't just a staffing issue.
No, it directly impacts an agency's ability to defend itself. It creates a strong market demand for solutions that can automate security processes, augment existing teams with AI, and advanced analytics.
And provide managed services, perhaps.
Absolutely. Managed services to fill critical operational gaps. Agencies aren't just looking for tools. They're looking for solutions that act as a force multiplier for their existing, often very overstretched teams.
Makes sense. What else are they up against?
Compounding that is the hybrid complexity and visibility gaps within federal IT environments. Modern federal IT is this complex blend, right? You've got legacy on-premises systems, modern multi-cloud deployments like AWS GovCloud and Azure Government, and often specialized operational technology, OT, and industrial control systems, ICS.
Quite a mix.
It is. And this heterogeneity creates a sprawling and fragmented attack surface with dangerous blind spots. Adversaries are adept at exploiting these seams, moving laterally between cloud and on-prem.
So achieving unified visibility
and consistent policy enforcement across this complex distributed landscape is a monumental challenge for security teams. It's like trying to secure a patchwork quilt where every patch was made by a different tailor with different materials.
You need to see everything everywhere all the time.
That's the goal, to find those weak seams.
Okay, and finally.
So finally, all of this creates a powerful compliance-driven budget catalyst focusing on zero trust. Federal agencies are under direct executive pressure to meet the deadlines and requirements in EO 1328 and M2131.
And they're being watched.
Closely. CISAs and OMB are actively tracking agency progress. CIOs and CISOs are held directly accountable for their agency's security posture.
Accountability drives action.
It does. This accountability ensures that funding for solutions directly addressing these mandates will be prioritized in upcoming budgets. Furthermore, while the mandates cover diverse technical areas, logging, EDR, cloud security, they all serve the broader government goal of achieving a zero-trust architecture.
So it all points towards zero trust.
Essentially, yes. These aren't just recommendations. They are non-negotiable requirements backed by funding and direct accountability. This is a critical strategic window for agencies to invest in solutions that deliver both compliance and foundational security.
Okay, so against this backdrop of urgency, complexity, these critical mandates, Rapid7's Insight GovCloud platform enters the scene. What's its foundational differentiator? And maybe what are some persistent skepticism or common objections agencies still raise, even with FedRAMP authorization? How does Rapid7 address those head on?
That's a very perceptive question. The foundational differentiator, and truly a non-negotiable prerequisite in the federal space, is FedRAMP authorization at the moderate impact level.
FedRAMP moderate, that's the baseline.
It's a critical baseline, yes. But it's far more than just a checkbox. It's a rigorous, costly process that validates a cloud service offering security posture against a standardized set of controls, specifically designed for the U.S. government.
So for you, the listener, that means?
It means peace of mind that the solution has been thoroughly vetted for government use, meeting NIST 853 controls and other federal requirements right out of the box. It saves agencies countless hours and resources on their own security assessments.
And it unlocks that big federal cyber market.
Absolutely. We're talking over $9 billion. It provides a pre-vetted, government-ready suite of solutions. It's also a formidable barrier to entry for competitors, streamlines agency acquisition.
Reduces risk for procurement folks.
Exactly. Now, regarding skepticism, agencies, understandably, often question the depth of that vetting, or if the moderate impact level is truly sufficient for their specific sensitive data.
Right. They might ask, does this really cover our unique mission needs?
Precisely. Rapid7 addresses this by maintaining continuous compliance, actively participating in the FedRAMP Joint Authorization Board process, and providing transparent documentation. But more than that, our engagement models move beyond just the authorization.
How so?
We focus on how our platform's capabilities map specifically to an agency's unique mission and data classification needs, ensuring the solution doesn't just meet the baseline, but genuinely strengthens their specific posture. That foundation of trust is absolutely paramount.
That deep trust and continuous validation are key, especially with government data and national security. Now, with this trusted foundation, how does the Insight GovCloud platform directly map to those intense federal mandates we just discussed?
Right.
And importantly, for agencies feeling overwhelmed about where to even begin, where's the most strategic, maybe lowest friction entry point for them to start deploying these solutions?
Excellent question. And this is where the strategic value of the platform truly shines. The most effective entry point, given the acute need for mandate compliance and foundational visibility, is often leading with M2131 compliance using Insight IDR.
Start with the logging mandate.
Exactly. The logging requirements of M2131 are incredibly specific and often difficult for legacy tools to handle. Once you deploy the Universal Insight Agent and data collectors for Insight IDR,
your core infrastructure is there.
Precisely. Expanding to other platform solutions like Insight VM becomes a much lower friction upsell because that core data collection infrastructure is already in place. It's like laying a universal foundation that you can then build different structures upon.
Makes sense. Okay, let's break down how the different components align, starting with Insight IDR.
Okay, so Insight IDR is Rapid7's cloud-native SIEM and XDR solution. For those unfamiliar, SIEM is security information and event management aggregating logs. XDR is extended detection and response, expanding that to endpoints, networks, cloud, offering deeper analytics.
Got it. How does it hit the mandates?
Insight IDR directly addresses the most pressing federal mandates. It collects, aggregates, and analyzes logs, network traffic, endpoints. Its intuitive log search, auto parsing, visual investigation timeline, these are critical for meeting M2131's data access and investigative requirements.
And the EDR part.
Plus, the Universal Insight Agent provides robust EDR capabilities, endpoint telemetry, behavioral analytics, which is explicitly called for in EO-14028 to enable government-wide threat hunting.
So the federal value proposition is?
Crystal clear.
Yeah.
You achieve M2131 EL-1 EL-2 compliance, streamline data access for SACE FBI investigators, and fulfill the EDR mandate, enabling proactive threat hunting across your agency.
Okay, powerful start. What's next? Insight VM.
Next up is Insight VM, our vulnerability risk management solution. This directly addresses FISMA's continuous monitoring mandates and SACE's binding operational directive 2301 on known exploited vulnerabilities.
How does it provide visibility?
It gives you complete continuous attack surface visibility through both agent-based and agentless scanning. But crucially, it leverages AI, real-world threat intelligence from Rapid7 Labs, and attacker behavior insights.
To do what?
To provide a truly threat-aware active risk score. Unlike generic CVSS scores that just rate a vulnerability's theoretical severity.
Which can be overwhelming.
Exactly. Our active risk score dynamically assesses the likelihood of exploitation. It integrates real-time threat intelligence from our labs, CISA's KV catalog, observed attacker behavior patterns.
So you can prioritize based on what's actually happening.
Precisely. Prioritize based on what adversaries are actually doing, not just theoretical impact. This lets you move beyond generic CVSS scores to a truly risk-based approach, meet CISA remediation deadlines, and measurably reduce risk by focusing on the most dangerous threats actively being exploited in the wild.
That sounds much more actionable. What about cloud security?
For that, there's Insight CloudSec, our comprehensive cloud-native application protection platform, or CNAPP. With EO-14028 pushing cloud migration, securing those dynamic environments is paramount.
How does it work? Agentless?
Yes. Real-time, agentless visibility across multi-cloud providers like AWS GovCloud and Azure Government. It detects misconfigurations, excessive permissions, compliance drift as they happen.
And remediation.
It has built-in compliance packs and no-code automation for remediation. Now, the federal value is enabling secure migration to GovCloud, enforcing least privilege, preventing cloud data breaches, ensuring your cloud transformation is both rapid and secure.
Like a vigilant guardian for the cloud.
That's a good way to put it.
And software supply chain. You mentioned Insight AppSec.
Right, Insight AppSec. To comply with EO-14028's requirements, agencies need to assess the security of applications they develop and procure. Insight AppSec provides powerful dynamic application security testing, DAST, from the cloud.
Black box testing.
Yes. Black box testing to automatically identify and triage vulnerabilities like the OWASP Top 10 and web apps and APIs. Its attack replay feature lets developers validate findings and test patches easily.
So this helps meet those procurement standards.
Exactly. Assess custom and commercial apps, reduce supply chain risk, meet new federal standards, proactively finding weaknesses before adversaries do.
Okay, and finally, you mentioned Insight Connect as a force multiplier. How does that work?
Insight Connect is the automation piece. Security orchestration, automation, and response, or SR.
Yeah.
It's the engine that truly ties the Insight platform together and directly addresses that federal cybersecurity skills gap we talked about.
Automation to help stretched teams.
Precisely. Insight Connect lets you build automated workflows, connecting your entire tech stack, enriching alerts, creating remediation tickets, quarantining endpoints automatically.
So it operationalizes the response.
Yeah, operationalize response playbooks, automate manual SOC tasks, accelerate incident response. This allows your limited staff to focus on high-value analysis and minimize mission impact. in a world where every second counts during impact.
Automation isn't just nice to have.
It's absolutely mission critical.
That's an impressive suite mapped to the mandates. But beyond checking individual boxes, what's the broader, holistic benefit of this integrated platform for agencies dealing with that perfect storm, the skills gap, tool sprawl, budget constraints?
That's where the platform advantage really comes into play. It's about emergent value, where the whole is far greater than the sum of its parts.
How so? What's the foundation?
The foundational technical differentiator is Rapid7's unified data architecture. The principle of collect data once across the IT environment using shared collectors and that universal insight agent.
That enables collaboration.
It enables security, IT, and DevOps teams to collaborate effectively using shared data. But beyond just operational efficiency, this unified architecture addresses a critical cultural hurdle in federal agencies, the ingrained siloization of security, IT, even mission-specific teams. Rapid7's approach forces a shared operational reality, which, for the federal government, can be as transformative as the technology itself.
Can you give an example of that workflow?
Sure. Imagine InsightVM identifies a critical vulnerability on a server. InsightIDR then detects a specific exploit attempt against that same server. And InsightConnect automatically triggers a workflow to isolate the machine and create a high-priority patch ticket.
Seamless.
That integrated automated workflow is key to modern, effective security operations. It allows your teams to work together seamlessly with shared context, reducing wasted time and miscommunications.
And how does this help with tool sprawl?
This approach is also crucial for reducing tool sprawl and integration headaches. Federal IT often has dozens of disconnected legacy security tools, each with its own agent console dataset.
Creates complexity, gaps.
Drives up costs. The Rapid7 Insight platform offers a consolidated solution with a single, lightweight agent and a unified UI. Comprehensive visibility from a central command center.
So it simplifies management.
Simplifies management, reduces endpoint burden, eliminates integration challenges that plague agencies trying to stitch together disparate point solutions. It brings clarity to the chaos.
And the budget aspect.
It plays a significant role in maximizing constrained budgets. Consolidating essential capabilities, VM, SIEM, EDR, SOAR, CNAPP, onto a single platform offers significant cost savings.
That's a powerful message for CIOs.
Definitely. For CIOs and procurement officers, reduced licensing, lower training and maintenance overhead, a more predictable financial model compared to acquiring and sustaining a portfolio of separate products. Every dollar saved on redundant tools can be reinvested in mission-critical initiatives.
Makes sense. And for the skills gap.
And finally, for agencies acutely affected by the skills shortage, the platform's value is further enhanced by augmenting staff with managed services, MDR.
MDR Managed Detection and Response.
Right. Rapid7's MDR service acts as a direct extension of an agency's internal SOC, provides 247 threat monitoring, expert threat hunting, incident response support from Rapid7's global team.
So it's like hiring experts without the overhead.
Essentially, yes. For agencies hit hardest by the skills shortage, MDR is a core solution. It enables a world-class defense posture without the immense cost and difficulty of building and retaining such a team internally. It's hiring an entire team of experts without the HR headaches or the huge salary burden.
So it's clear this isn't just about meeting the bare minimum. It's about deep alignment with the overarching federal cybersecurity vision. What other federal initiatives does Rapid7 explicitly support, demonstrating this comprehensive alignment? And maybe what's a less obvious benefit of this widespread integration?
That's right. The platform's alignment goes far deeper than just those core mandates. It positions Rapid7 as a foundational partner across a wide range of critical federal initiatives.
Like what? Compliance stuff?
For instance, robust support for NIST, FISMA, and TIC compliance. Our FedRAMP approved solutions include building compliance support mapping to NIST SP853 controls, CMMC requirements, which are critical for the defense industrial base.
Right, CMMC for contractors.
Exactly. And Tech 3.0 guidelines. This provides continuous monitoring dashboards and evidence generation that streamline FISMA reporting and audits. It significantly reduces the administrative burden of compliance for you.
And the less obvious benefit there.
By automating this, agencies free up highly skilled security personnel from tedious reporting tasks to focus on actual threat hunting and mitigation. More security, less paperwork.
Good point. What about CDM?
The platform is also central to the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation CDM program, Our solutions, including on-prem tools like Nexpose, AppSpider, Metasploit Pro, are officially on the CDM-approved products list.
So they help with CDM goals?
Yeah. Help agencies continuously monitor exposure, prioritize high-risk vulnerabilities, adapt to new threats, test controls, fulfilling CDM capabilities to reduce the threat surface, increase visibility, improve incident response, and streamline that FISMA reporting again.
Okay. And CISA's directives on vulnerabilities, BODs.
Then there are the binding operational directives, BOD, on vulnerabilities. CISA's BODs, like 2201 and 2301, set aggressive requirements for agencies to find and fix specific vulnerabilities.
How does Rapid7 help meet those deadlines?
We directly address these. Automated vulnerability assessment, that risk-based prioritization through Insight VM's active risk scoring and remediation tracking help agencies meet stringent deadlines and avoid security gaps.
And the deeper insight there.
These BODs aren't just compliance hoops. They're CISA's way of forcing the federal government to proactively address the vulnerabilities adversaries are actually exploiting, turning compliance into genuine defense.
Makes sense. And zero trust, obviously.
Of course, it profoundly supports zero trust in executive orders. With a federal push towards zero trust by 2024, our solutions support several pillars. Insight VM and Insight CloudSec enable continuous visibility of assets and vulnerabilities. Never trust, always verify, across devices and cloud.
And Insight IDR
provides continuous threat detection, assuming any segment could be compromised. The platform's ability to unify visibility across on-prem and cloud provides real-time risk scoring, aligning perfectly with zero trust goals. It embeds zero trust principles as an operational reality.
And this all helps with speed to mission.
Absolutely. A key focus is speed to mission, driven by efficiency and automation. The platform is explicitly designed to increase this. From procurement to deployment, InsightGov Cloud reduces friction, enables teams to act faster.
Less delay, faster response.
Right. Get tools in place quickly, respond without cumbersome delays. The emphasis on automation via Insight Connect helps agencies do more with less, allowing them to move faster than adversaries. It's a security benefit and a mission acceleration benefit. Deliver services more reliably, more quickly.
What about offensive security tools? Metasploit.
We also leverage Metasploit and closed-loop testing. For agencies pursuing active testing, like DoD's CoreEye standards, Metasploit Pro lets you safely simulate attacks, validate exploitability, focus patching on true risks.
Think like an adversary.
Exactly. Enables agencies to effectively think like an adversary, to preempt real attacks, a unique differentiator. Move from reactive wait and see to proactive test and harden.
And finally, other tools like Insight AppSec and Threat Command.
Finally, Insight AppSec and Threat Command provide additional targeted security. Insight AppSec for web app security testing helps secure citizen-facing web apps against OWASP top 10 vulns, aligning with OMB guidelines.
And Threat Command.
That provides dark web monitoring and digital risk intelligence, valuable for monitoring external threats, brand impersonation. This comprehensive coverage positions Rapid7 as a one-stop platform for exposure management and threat detection. Full situational awareness of external digital risk, too.
That's a truly powerful and comprehensive set of capabilities, showing really deep alignment with federal priorities. But wow, the federal landscape is vast, right? Spanning dozens of agencies.
It really is.
Given this complex environment, understanding where these mandates and threats converge most intensely seems key. What are the primary characteristics that define federal agencies facing the most acute cybersecurity challenges right now? And how do integrated platforms typically identify and address those critical pain points?
That's exactly the right way to think about it. Effective engagement in the federal space isn't about a scattergun approach. It has to be strategic prioritization.
Looking for what specifically?
We look for agencies with critical missions, vast quantities of highly sensitive data, and those that have publicly articulated cyber priorities or maybe recent audit findings that directly align with the core competencies of an integrated platform like Rapid7's.
Those feeling the most pain.
Exactly. Those feeling the most pain from the mandates and threats we've been discussing.
Okay, so based on that, who's at the top of the list? Tier one.
Our analysis indicates that a top priority has to be the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS.
HHS. Makes sense, given the data they handle.
Absolutely. Their mission to enhance health and well-being involves managing and protecting vast quantities of highly sensitive PII and PHI. The healthcare sector is just a prime target for ransomware for nation-state actors.
And an incident there has real-world consequences.
Direct impact on patient safety and care. HHS's cybersecurity strategic plan focuses on establishing cybersecurity performance goals, providing resources to high-need providers, updating high pay rules with increased penalties.
So they're actively trying to improve. Who are the key players there?
Key leadership includes the OCIO, the OCISO, currently CRIS Service Enterprise Security Services, and major operating divisions like CMS, CISO, FDA, NIH.
And the opportunity for a platform like Rapid7?
Significant. Leading with Inside IDR for M2131 compliance and robust ransomware detection. Then positioning Inside VM for comprehensive vulnerability management across their incredibly diverse systems, clinical, research, standard IT, emphasizing that unified risk score across their complex hybrid environments.
Connecting cyber directly to patient safety.
That's the compelling narrative for HHS leaders. Mission resilience.
Okay, HHS is clear. Who's the second top priority?
Our second top priority is the Department of the Treasury.
Treasury, center of the financial system, big target.
Absolutely. Their mission is maintaining a strong economy, placing them at the center of the global financial system. Makes them a primary target for sophisticated nation states seeking economic disruption or intelligence.
Are their priorities aligned with the mandates too?
Explicitly aligned.
Yeah.
Their FY 2025 budget request for the cybersecurity enhancement account is directly guided by EO14028 and M2131. Their focus is squarely on cloud security, SOC modernization, enhanced logging.
Any external pressure? Audits.
Yes. A recent GAO report highlighted 21 open recommendations for Treasury. Things like fully implementing federal cloud security requirements, developing a comprehensive cyber workforce plan.
Key leadership there.
Departmental OCIO Sam Korkos, a new CISO, the Office of Cybersecurity and Critical Infrastructure Protection, or OCCIP, and bureaus like the IRS.
So for Rapid7, the approach for Treasury.
Lead with Insight CloudSec. Managing risk and compliance in their inherently complex multi-cloud financial environments is critical. Then position the broader Insight platform for operational risk across their entire hybrid enterprise.
Directly addressing those GAO recommendations.
And their deep-seated modernization goals, absolutely.
Beyond those two crucial agencies, HHS and Treasury, who else should be on the priority list for integrated security platforms like Rapid7? And what specific needs make them such a good fit?
Absolutely. There are several other high-priority agencies where an integrated platform can make a significant impact.
Like DHS. They seem unique.
The Department of Homeland Security. DHS is crucial, yeah. Not only setting policy through CISA, but also securing its own sprawling components, TSA, FEMA, USCIS.
Huge scope.
Huge. They face constant APT detection challenges, need to unify IT and OT visibility, break down silos across their vast enterprise. Rapid7's platform, with its ability to break down those silos between data and teams, is essential for DHS's mission to secure the .gov. The sheer scale and diversity make a unified approach invaluable.
What about energy, DOE?
Then there's the Department of Energy, DOE.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly sensitive data, nuclear security, energy R&D, extensive OT networks. They face advanced nation-state threats targeting critical infrastructure.
So OT security is key for them.
Very key. Rapid7's OT-aware security features, IT-OT visibility, Insight CloudSec for scientific computing and research environments. Mm-hmm. These help manage risks and assist with NERC-CIP compliance, a major regulatory concern for them.
And the VA, huge healthcare system.
The Department of Veterans Affairs, VA, operates one of the largest healthcare systems, massive attack surface hospitals, clinics, medical devices, legacy apps, new cloud services, highly sensitive veteran data.
Their needs.
Persistent need for risk-based VM, continuous monitoring, a unified view of risk. All while needing to consolidate tools to maximize budgets. Their mission-critical services mean security directly impacts veteran care.
State Department, Global Network.
The Department of State operates globally. Diplomatic networks constantly targeted by foreign intelligence. They need robust detection and rapid response. Insight IBR is invaluable for sophisticated intrusions. And a FedRAMP-cleared cloud platform accessible globally, enabling collaboration critical for their distributed high-risk network.
Any others, briefly?
Sure. Department of Justice, DOJ, needs to secure law enforcement systems, comply with CJIS. Department of Transportation, DOT, protecting air traffic, highways, IT, and OT needs. Department of Commerce, NIST, NOAA, scientific systems. Department of Agriculture, USDA, broad enterprise, research, citizen services, moving to cloud.
Common ground among them.
Many share initiatives through the Federal CSO Council and the Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative, JCDC, where Rapid7's threat research and unified data can demonstrate progress. The common thread. High-stakes missions, sensitive data, complex, hybrid environments.
That's an incredibly detailed map of the federal landscape. Now, let's make Rapid7's value even more tangible. What are the problem solutions, stories, or high-impact use cases that resonate most strongly with these agencies, the things that really illustrate how the platform alleviates their biggest pain points?
Yeah, to make the platform's value truly tangible, we anchor conversations in specific high-impact use cases. These directly solve problems created by the federal mandates. These narratives resonate because they address immediate pressing needs.
Okay, use case number one.
The first is achieving M2131 logging and FISMA continuous monitoring. This positions Insight IDR and Insight VM as a compliance-in-a-box solution.
How does that work?
Insight IDR's broad data collection, automated parsing, user-friendly search directly mapped to M2131's prescriptive logging requirements, identity, OS, DNS, cloud. Meanwhile, Insight VM's customizable dashboards and reporting engine produce evidence for FISMA continuous monitoring on demand.
So it saves effort.
Directly addresses mandatory requirements and can save hundreds of hours of manual effort for your security teams. It transforms a compliance burden into an automated, efficient process.
Great. Second use case.
A second crucial one is implementing government-wide EDR and threat hunting. Insight IDR is the definitive answer to EO 14028's call for government-wide EDR.
What do you highlight there?
We highlight the Universal Insight Agent for Deep Endpoint Visibility, our Attacker Behavior Analytics, ABA, that detects sophisticated APT techniques, and the constant infusion of curated threat intelligence from Rapid7 Labs.
Moving beyond passive alerting.
Exactly. Allows you to move beyond passive alerting to a proactive threat hunting program, empowering your analysts with advanced capabilities to detect sophisticated, stealthy threats that might otherwise slip through traditional defenses. It turns your SOC into a proactive defense force.
Okay. And CISA's KV list.
Next, we have operationalizing CISA's known exploited vulnerabilities, KEV catalog. This leverages Insight VM to help agencies transition to a proactive risk reduction vulnerability management program.
Using that active risk score again.
Right. We demonstrate Insight VM's active risk scoring, explaining how it integrates real-world threat context, including whether a vuln is in CISA's KEV catalog, to automatically prioritize the most dangerous threats.
So it helps meet CISA's deadlines.
Provides a clear path to meeting CISA's stringent remediation deadlines and measurably reducing your agency's attack surface, focusing on what's actually being exploited in the wild, not just theoretical risk.
Makes sense. And finally, cloud and supply chain.
Finally, there's securing the hybrid cloud and software supply chain. This tells a comprehensive, secure digital transformation story by combining Insight CloudSec and Insight AppSec.
How do they work together?
Insight CloudSec provides foundational security for cloud infrastructure monitoring for misconfigurations, excessive permissions, compliance violations across AWS GovCloud, Azure Government. Layered on top, Insight AppSec secures the custom and commercial apps running in that cloud environment, testing them for vulns like OWASP Top 10 before they can be exploited.
So it's holistic.
It's exactly. A holistic solution for securing your agency's entire cloud-native application lifecycle, addressing EO 14028's modernization and supply chain goals from infrastructure all the way to application code.
That truly brings the technical capabilities to life by framing them as solutions to real-world problems. Finally, we need to talk about people. Who are the individuals within these agencies that integrated security platforms need to talk to? And how do you speak their language to make the most impact and drive adoption?
Yeah, engaging effectively means tailoring the message to the specific responsibilities and really the distinct pain points of key personas. Each role sees cybersecurity challenges through a different lens.
Okay, let's start at the top, the CISO.
First, the Chief Information Security Officer, CISO. CISOs are under immense pressure, right? Compliance pressure, budget and talent constraints, reporting executive risk, holding ultimate accountability.
That's a value prop for them.
For them, a platform like Rapid7 offers a unified solution for M2131, FISMA, CISA Boots. It provides executive risk dashboards for clear communication, demonstrates TCO reduction. Plus, MDR can augment their overstretched teams.
So the messages.
The message for a CISO is clear. It simplifies and strengthens cybersecurity across your most sensitive and complex environments, giving you better visibility and control without burning out your team.
Got it. What about the CIO? Different focus.
Then there's the Chief Information Officer, CIO. CIOs focus heavily on mission enablement, driving digital transformation, budget optimization, reducing technical debt and tool sprawl.
So the message shifts.
It does. We emphasize Insight GovCloud is FedRAMP authorized, accelerating secure cloud adoption, a key EO 14028 goal. It consolidates multiple security functions, automates processes via Insight Connect for overall IT and security operational efficiency.
So for a CIO, it's about
making IT run smoother, faster, more securely. It helps reduce wasted effort between teams by fostering collaboration within a single integrated view, driving both efficiency and mission capability.
Okay, down a level, ISOs, security managers.
There's the Information Systems Security Officer, ISO security manager. Their pain points are the sheer volume of vulnerabilities, managing multiple disparate tools, generating compliance reports, coordinating remediation across complex environments.
What relief does the platform offer them?
Tangible operational relief. Insight VMs, risk-prioritized remediation plans, its deep integrations with IT ticketing systems. Insight Connect automates repetitive tasks. This provides a single platform for managing risk across all their assigned assets, freeing them from manual drudgery.
Makes sense. Now, folks in the SOC, analysts, threat hunters.
Next, the Security Operations Center, SOC Analyst Threat Hunter. They face alert fatigue, too many false positives, disconnected data sources, manual incident response processes that slow them down.
What does Rapid7 bring them?
Speed and clarity. Insight IDR provides high-fidelity, context-rich detections, fusing data from logs, endpoints, user behavior. The unified visibility eliminates pivoting between consoles. Insight Connect empowers them by automating initial triage and response,
letting them focus on real threats,
allowing them to focus on high-value analysis and containing genuine threats, making their demanding job more manageable.
What about risk and compliance officers?
Risk management and compliance officers are concerned with ensuring FISMA, OMB, Inspector General requirements are met, preparing for frequent audits.
How does the platform help with audits?
Rapid7 provides robust reporting, continuous monitoring dashboards, evidence generation for FISMA FedRAMP controls, tracks remediation efforts over time, simplifying A123 risk reports. It's about making audit season less stressful and more transparent.
Cloud architects, DevSecOps leads, more modern roles.
For cloud architects and DevSecOps leads, their pain is embedding security seamlessly into agile development and cloud ops without hindering innovation or slowing down developers.
So enabling speed securely.
Right. Rapid7 offers a cloud-native approach. Continuous cloud security via Insight CloudSec, real-time policy enforcement, automated support for modern environments like AWS, Azure, or Kubernetes. It's about enabling them to build fast and securely.
Okay, last one may be the most important. Program managers, mission owners.
Finally, agency program managers and mission owners. Their pain stems directly from the mission impact of security incidents, system outages, data leaks, security delays, derailing program goals.
How do you frame the value for them?
Rapid7's value is in securing and accelerating program delivery. Less downtime, faster authority to operate, ATO, for new systems, robust protection of citizen data. It de-risks their mission,
making them allies for funding.
Exactly. When multiple program owners back a security investment because it directly de-risks their mission delivery, agency leadership listens. This is perhaps the most critical persona to influence, as they represent the ultimate beneficiaries of a secure and efficient IT environment. #tagtagoutro.
So as we wrap up this incredibly detailed deep dive, what's the ultimate takeaway for our listener navigating this complex, critical landscape?
The ultimate takeaway, I think, is that Rapid7's Insight GovCloud platform directly addresses that dual mandate we talked about, strengthening cybersecurity and enabling mission acceleration for U.S. federal civilian agencies.
The FedRAMP piece is key, but it's more than that.
Exactly. The FedRAMP authorization is foundational, yes, but the true power lies in its unified approach. Vulnerability management, cloud security, threat detection, automation. It all ties back to breaking down those silos.
Providing that real-time risk visibility.
Right. Comprehensive real-time risk visibility in these inherently complex hybrid federal environments. And this isn't just about achieving compliance. It's about building a truly resilient, agile defense posture that can adapt faster than the threats themselves.
Building resilience, not just checking boxes.
Precisely. You know, the federal government isn't just about securing data anymore. It's about securing the future of essential services, the trust of its citizens, and national resilience.
Yeah.
The question for agencies isn't if they need to modernize their security, but how quickly they can leverage platforms like Rapid7 to not just comply, but to genuinely outpace the threats. So for you, the listener, what aspect of this profound shift in federal cybersecurity are you most eager to explore further? Maybe how this could impact the private sector, or perhaps how talent development needs to evolve to meet these demands.
That's a fantastic forward-looking thought to leave us with. Thank you for guiding us through this crucial topic with such depth and insight today.
My pleasure.
And thank you, our listener, for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep digging, keep learning, and stay secure.